Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years we've been asking the franchisors the long ones. I'm your host Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Dan Sean, the CEO of Native Grill and Wings. And the mission at Native Grill and Wings is to provide their guests with excellent service, exceptional food, and a memorable experience while continuing to be the coolest place for the hottest wings. We're going to talk to Dan about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822. Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years we've been asking the franchisors one on one. I'm your host Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Dan Sean, the CEO of Native Grill and Wings. And the mission of Native Grill and Wings is to provide their guests with excellent service, exceptional food, and a memorable experience while continuing to be the coolest place for the hottest wings. Hey Dan, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks for coming on the show today. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
We are calling from our franchise support office in sunny Phoenix, Arizona.
Lucky you. How's the weather there today, Dan?
Much better today than it was for the Super Bowl week, but pretty darn good.
That's fantastic. This is, I mean, a great story. You know, one of the reasons we started the show, Dan, is we've found that, you know, a lot of the franchisors, you know, they always have a great story behind them. And you know, you guys, the Native Grill and Wings certainly has one. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that, the history.
Yeah, absolutely. It is clearly an eclectic background. The brand, which originally started off as Native New Yorker, mm-hmm. the family, the Anderson family, originally from Buffalo, New York, actually were friends with the original owners of the Anchor Bar, which is kind of the birthplace for wings, correct?
Right.
They decided to get the heck out of Buffalo in 1978. They had enough of shoveling the snow and everything else. And so Judy and Floyd Anderson packed up their four daughters at that time, put everything they had in their one vehicle, literally one vehicle, and headed south to Arizona, so I guess southwest. And it was really funny. One of the sisters, the oldest sister, Debbie, they were listening to, which is a crazy deal, they were listening to a disco song from Odyssey, and it had a phrase in there, native New Yorker. And so literally in the car, driving, I think, halfway between here and Buffalo, they said, when we open up our pizza place in Phoenix, we're going to name it Native New Yorker. So crazy today, 35 years later, that that brand started from really a dream, a car ride, and a disco song. And so they moved themselves out here to Arizona, and I think they originally wanted to maybe do like a restaurant that had some New York-themed food, whether it was pizza, a beef on Kummelwick, some things we still very much have on our menu today that are staples. But you know what? They came out here and loved the weather, but that was about the only thing they had going for them. Really struggled both financially and personally. And so here, Judy and Floyd here, four young daughters, moved everything to Arizona. And really more from an epiphany, Judy Anderson, the mom who is still currently living today, said, you know, what do we got to lose? This is not working. I'm going to go over to the grocery store. I'm going to buy some chickens and literally cut them by hand. Looked, you know, got the recipe for how the best way to, they thought they, you know, to customize their wing to their own flavor. And really, the rest is history. I mean, just a crazy cult following began with the brand. And hence, they went from what they thought was going to be a little pizza place to really a wing concept. And literally one of those kind of rags to riches, start from nothing and build a brand. And here we are today. We just celebrated our 35th anniversary. Wow. And really the brand really grew organically. But the three, you know, Floyd passed away in 2009. Like I said, Judy is still alive, but today, very proudly, the company is still owned by three of the sisters. So we're very proud to say that we're not only an Arizona-based company with roots to Buffalo, New York, but we're also a women-based owned company, which I think is really important in today's age and time.
I love the story. I mean, and it's one of the things that of course, you're getting when you buy a franchise is the Native Grill and Wings brand and you know, of course, the story behind it and the history behind it. It's just everything about the story is fantastic. When I learned about it for the first time, I said I had to have you guys on the show. You recently won another award, too. I see that you were recently named, was it Restaurant Business Magazine's Future 50, and I thought that was fantastic. Congratulations on that as well, Dan.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Well, we appreciate that. Again, we've got an amazing team, and I think the thing for us is that, you know, we really were the first ones to bring wings to the Southwest, and so we knew, you know, we immediately started winning some crazy awards, best of, I mean, we've got our, if you were in our corporate office, you'd see our walls decorated with everything from old menus that we started back in, you know, 35 years ago to just the dozens of awards we won on the wings. And I remember when I was at Arizona State University, you know, and I'm 49 today, so 20-plus some years ago, without giving my age away, but I did. I ate 10-cent wings at the original Native New Yorker at that time, which is still in place today. It's still our corporate store just right off the campus of ASU, and we still today get dozens and dozens of inquiries about the history and, oh, I remember eating 10-cent wings. And that's what really led us to, really, as we were looking at our expansion and what we really wanted to do, because we had such an organic growth and took our time maturing the brand in Arizona. One of the things that we found out going out to the market was no one really, even though the brand started as Native New Yorker and the girls and the sisters and the family were from Buffalo, it was interesting because everybody, including myself, referred to, and even before, you know, I came on board and took over the brand 4 years ago, is that everybody referred to, hey, I'm going to Native, I'll meet you at Native, hey, that's my Native, hey, I just celebrated my kid's birthday at Native. And so when we are looking at really reimagining our brand, because in this industry, you've got to continue to change and to adapt. And so when we really went through where we wanted to be as far as our getting out of our organic growth with our existing franchisees and really saying, okay, we can cross-pollinate the brand in multiple states, we did a ton of market research, and the one thing that came back was how distinct the Native name was. You know, like, I'm a Native Arizona, I'm a Native Texan, I'm a Nebraskan, and that was really important to our existing franchisees, is how do you keep that Native culture? This is my Native. I still want to be a franchise brand that gives you the great scalability and the systems and controls, but the owners really wanted this to be their Native, and that's still, to our, from a culture standpoint, hugely important to us.
It would have been interesting when you were a college student that somebody told you you were going to be the CEO of the company one day. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, when back then I was thinking, like, I got $5 left in my name after tuition, I'm going to get 50 wings. So that was,
exactly,
that was my goal then.
Exactly. It's fantastic. What's your favorite flavor? I mean, there's a lot of different flavors, aren't there, Dan? I mean, when you go into Native Grill and Wings, what's your favorite when you go into one?
Oh, man. Well, you know, right now probably my favorite is we incorporated some dry rubs this year, and so the Ancho Chili Line dry rub is probably my favorite. And right behind that is probably our Honey Hot, which is just phenomenal.
That's fantastic. How do you describe the franchise? I mean, if you were at a franchise show, Dan, and you know, and someone came up to your booth and they said, so, you know, the typical question, so what do you guys do? I mean, how do you typically describe the franchise to someone?
Well, for us, you know, on Native Grill and Wings, I describe ourselves as a really nice, polished, casual dining, sports-themed grill.
Mm-hmm.
And we base our business around being the coolest place with the hottest wings. And we're certainly more than that. I mean, 30%+ of our product mix is wings, so that is our bread and butter.
Right.
But we've done such a great job on the sandwich, salad, burger, and pizza side of the equation. What's unique for us is that we think that we all just really, our theme is kind of big games, big fun, one big family. So we do a phenomenal job in that sector, being that nice, polished sports grill that you can go in and have a great, not only a game day experience, but really a family and big party game day experience. And for us, the unique niche to our brand is not only that atmosphere, but the fact that we're still the concept out there, the only concept out there, still to my knowledge, that you can have individual wings and individual flavors. And not only that, which is really unique to us, is as far as part of our culture, we also do a great job in taking those sauces and those dry rubs and cross-pollinating them to other menu items on our menu,
wow,
which makes us really unique.
That's fantastic. I think that's terrific. Since 1978, I mean, you know, technology has played a big role in your business. I mean, how has technology played a role in your business today, Dan?
Well, I think for us it's really funny, it's the brand being 35 years old. It's funny, now that we're going outside the state of Arizona, people just think of us as so new and relevant, and I think, I think is great, right? And I think we're in a great sector. I think part of that is certainly I surround myself with a really smart and young team, and they are very up to speed on where we should be from a technology standpoint and then also forecasting where we need to be. And internally, we've done everything from technology in the back of the house, like we incorporated what we call our CTX ovens from Middleby. They are infrared, high caliber, really helps the efficiencies of our cooking. So everything from that technology in the back of the house to in our front of the house, from, you know, with our Aloha operating systems to we use, you know, Crunch Time, which is a software for our food costing. We've also got a platform that we call Work Item that manages every one of our single processes from when we sign up a franchisee to when we open the doors. It manages the entire process for them, so we can spend our time with boots on the ground, and we're completely paperless and everything's cloud-based. So I think for a kind of a 35-year-old wing concept, I think we're pretty hip on where we're going with our technology.
That's fantastic. I mean, the industry that you're in is I guess it's safe to say that you're in a big industry. Are there any numbers, Dan, as far as, you know,
Yeah, it's a great question. If you look at the full service restaurant sales, including casual dining restaurants, and that includes casual dining restaurants with table service and alcohol offerings, which is the industry that we're in, it's $2.1 billion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, $201 billion.
Okay.
$201 billion. And of that $201 billion, if you look at just the wing category, in our categories, when you look at the Native Grill Wings, the Buffalo Wild Wings, the East Coast Wings, the brands out there that are wing specific in that category, we as just the category sold over 28 billion wings last year.
That's amazing. 28 billion. That's an incredible number.
That's a lot
number.
Of football parties.
That sure is. That's fantastic. So maybe we can talk a little bit about franchising. You know, the majority of our listeners, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. They have it in the back of their mind that they want to go into franchising. What types of characteristics do you look for then in your franchisees, Dan?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I think this kind of ties into those aspiring entrepreneurs who are looking to get into the business as well, from a characteristic standpoint, is clearly having them understand the barrier of entry, right? Understanding
mm-hmm, right.
what they're getting themselves into, and they've got to be entrepreneurial in spirit, and they've got to feel like they're going to have their skin in the game. So there's got to be a realistic expectations also to what the return on investment needs to look like for them. So
right.
their business acumen, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the restaurant sector, but their business acumen has to be understanding what it takes to sell that widget. And for us, that widget is wings, right?
Right.
And then I think the other two things that I would give advice to that I think are really, really important is, you know, they have to have passion for the brand. And that passion could be there from a return on investment standpoint and
mm-hmm.
or hopefully coupled with the fact that, hey, this is a sector that they want to move into, and we provide that risk-reward for them, right? And they understand
yeah.
what that risk-reward is. And then most importantly, and whether it's our brand or anybody else's brand out there, and I get this question asked me all the time, is whatever brand that you go with, if you're in a franchising system, be sure as the franchisee or the franchise owner that you feel like you are the customer to the franchisor. We look at our franchisees as our customer, and
mm-hmm.
that's the way any organization, and if I had a word of caution for anybody out there, make sure you feel like the customer when you go into an organization.
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice. What about the locations? I mean, what's going on with the locations and are there different types of offerings, I mean, for your prospective franchisees, Dan?
Yeah, there is a little bit. It's funny because, and I've got to go back a little bit to the kind of the history of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
When the brand was growing, the model for the family was to find, you know, inexpensive but good real estate, which was much easier back in Phoenix, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
But, you know, it could be 2,500 square feet, it could be 3,500 square feet, it could be 5,000 square feet. There wasn't at that time a set model. It was more about finding that local neighborhood end cap or freestanding building and putting a native in there and kind of growing it organically, right?
Right.
And that's how the business took off. Today, when you look at where our business model is we've got a prototypical building. It's a little over 5,000 square feet, very efficient, very cost-effective, and it's what we consider our prototype restaurant. But
okay.
And we built that model. But we've also got a great, because our history helped us define that, we've also got a great, I wouldn't say it's a QSR concept, but
mm-hmm.
we have an ability of going back into, like for instance, if we're on the East Coast, I can't go into New York City and find a freestanding building on a corner. But
right.
our history was built around going into a 2,500 square foot brownstone and opening up a killer restaurant with a great vibe. So
right.
we've got that model, and we are already having people showing interest in that footprint, which also provides a little lower barrier of entry as well.
Sure, of course. No, absolutely. I think that's fantastic. Once you decide that they're a match, you know, and you know they like you and you like them, what's the training like? I mean, do they come out to Arizona, Dan?
They do, and we are handling very closely with kid gloves. I mean, we are kind of, and I think just part of our culture is we're very much of an all hands on deck. So we probably, until they tell us, you know, to push back a little bit, we're right with them because the culture of the brand, we never want them walking away not feeling like we've given them 100% of our time and effort. Training
right.
to us is job one. So
yeah.
they come out here not only from the executives of the franchise group or the individual owner, that includes hands-on training at different levels, whether it's a two-week executive level to a, you know, six-week management general manager, and we base those on the experience of the operators to our full-blown 12-week training program that we put all of our managers in the system through. And that, coupled with how automated that we are and the technology we have in place, I think we provide a very efficient and use-of-time type of training system. I think we do a good job on that front.
That's great, and it's so important. How would you describe a typical day for your franchisees from, I guess, the moment they open up to, you know, the end of the day and everything else in between?
It's beer and wings, baby. That's a very simple answer to your question.
Right, right.
I think for us is, you know, for our brand, we are so ingrained in our communities that I think,
yeah.
and we've got a very eclectic group of franchisees. I mean, we have right now currently 11 franchise partners, and they do an amazing job, and their backgrounds are very varied from we've got five or six in the system that were multi-unit, high-level operators with McDonald's, to guys
right,
from
wow.
Darden on the Olive Garden side. So we have a great bench strength, I'd say, in the brand. So when they get up in the morning, they already know from an operation standpoint what they need to get accomplished. I think our operators today, what their typical day is looks like, and it goes back to, okay, it's just beer and wings, let's keep it simple, but have I gotten up and given something back to the community? And everything that we do from a charity standpoint, community standpoint, we start that from day one. From the first day we open a restaurant, that particular native finds a charity that's native to their concerns or their
right.
passion, and we support that from day one. And I think our operators, I'm happy to say that, and that's not lip service, that's true. I mean, they spend a lot of time saying, okay, am I supporting enough high school soccer teams? Am I supporting
right.
enough flag football teams? Our operators, and I think that's one of the things when new franchisee candidates come in, I think it's the one thing they're really taken back by is, you know, because people say, oh, it's easy to get involved in community, but it's part
right.
of who we are.
Yeah, and you're right. It is important, and it's important that it's not just lip service, of course, you know, as you were saying. So I think that's fantastic. You gave a lot of great advice to our listeners. And I mentioned earlier on, Dan, that our listeners are aspiring French entrepreneurs. We find that, you know, over the last 8 years, most of them, they just don't even know where to begin, you know. What advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
Well, I think two things that goes back to, I think, my first point I made before was understanding the barrier of entry.
Yeah.
Some individuals or individual groups or individual owners, they can be as satisfied doing a very simple QSR type of concept,
mm-hmm.
or to if it's a very simple postal service type of concept, or if it's a full-blown casual dining concept as native. I think number one is they have to understand their barrier of entry. And I think also, too, is have a very wide open eyes coming into the system on what their expectations are, that a lot of these people who come in, they have either, you know, sold property, or they've spent, you know, 20 years in existing business and are using their 401ks, or they're getting an SBA. I really want them to look at what their expectations are on that return. And can they get up every single day and fight for that brand? And if they can,
yeah.
then I'll sign those owners up all day long. But they've got to do their homework.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So where do you see the company 3 to 5 years down the road? I mean, I can ask you as the CEO.
Yeah, great question. I think where we are as a brand today, we feel very confident because of you have to understand, really, up until about a year ago, we really spent our focus on growing the brand organically. And then also, too, we spent a year and a half with our reimaging, the rebranding, and really focusing on the investment level and the return for not only our existing franchisees, because they're our best validators. Someone wants to come in and talk to me about Native, don't talk to Dan Sean, the CEO. Go talk to one of my franchisees. I want them to validate this is where you want to be, right?
Absolutely.
And we spent a lot of time doing that organically, and I'm very proud to say that if I could build my next 50 restaurants on existing franchisees, that'd be amazing. But we've also got to grow the brand to stay relevant, and now we're starting to get great attention because we can have success out of the state of Arizona, and we're finding that multi-unit brand managers or multi-unit franchise owners from other operations are saying, wow, this is a great strategy, and I can go out there and do that. Based on that and where our plans are, I very, very much feel like we'll be, you know, we're 31 restaurants today. I think we'll be 60 restaurants. I feel very comfortable we'll be at 60 restaurants by the end of 2017. And I think we're probably in that 100 to 110 unit growth period by 2020. And we built the brand about being very methodical. So it's more about finding the right partners to help us grow
right.
the brand than
right.
it is giving somebody with a pulse a franchise. We don't want to do that because we don't want to do anything to deter the brand identity or quality.
And I'm really looking forward to you coming to Easton, Pennsylvania. So I love wings. So
we'll be there.
You know, and speaking to you today, you made me very hungry. So it's really been great talking to you. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Dan? Any websites they should go to? Any numbers you'd like them to call?
Yeah, absolutely. They absolutely go to the website, and that website is www.nativegrillandwings.com. and then you can click on franchise, and there's a slew of information on there. All of our contact information is out there. Mm-hmm. I'll even, you know, my personal email is Dan, C-H-A-O-N, at Native Grill and Wings. You can always reach out for me as well.
That's fantastic, and I enjoy talking to you, Dan, and I'd like to already invite you back next year as you continue to grow. I think this is a wonderful franchise opportunity, so I look forward to meeting with you one day.
Buddy, thanks for your time today. It was a pleasure, and look forward to speaking to you in the future.
My pleasure as well, Dan. Thanks. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Franchise Interviews has been hosting this show now over 8 years, and we've done over 400 shows. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but we actually started off as a newsletter in 2006. We had a handful of subscribers, and the newsletter started to build over time. And we got a proposal to turn the newsletter into a radio show. And I originally said no to the idea. I was terrified about doing a radio show. And I thought about it for about 3 days, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. And doing the radio show has really been, I would say, one of the top five or top ten things that's happened, you know, over my life. So it's been a real amazing opportunity. We've interviewed some amazing people, from Michael Gerber to the guest you're going to hear today, Melanie Bergeron. Melanie is in our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast for today, and she is the chair of Two Men in a Truck, and she was on our six-year anniversary show. We put a lot of thought as far as who we'd like to have on the anniversary show, and she was a perfect choice, a wonderful interview. And one of the questions we asked Melanie on the show was, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise? And Of course, her response was brilliant. So here we go with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising with Melanie Bergeron, the chair of Two Men and a Truck.
To go or grow, they add a truck, add a truck, add a truck. And then if, depending on what the economy is doing, then you could take a truck out if you had to. Whereas with other franchise systems, you usually have to add a store, add a location.
That's true.
So it's just another beautiful thing. I'm using every second of your time I can to encourage people to think about this business as an opportunity.
It's an amazing opportunity. And, you know, I guess I could officially call you an expert. I know that I believe you are a certified franchise expert. And one of the questions we've been asking on the show, Melanie, for the last 6 years is, you know, what advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, so many of them know they want to get into a franchise opportunity, but it seems, I don't know, it seems a little more difficult today because there's just so much out there. And I think a lot of our listeners, they just simply don't know where to begin. I think they get a little overwhelmed. What would you say to them as an expert in franchising?
I would look at the concept and think about who the audience is that you'll be working with.
Right.
Because no matter what product or service it is, it's not really the product or service. It's who you're delivering to. And, you know, is this an audience that you could be comfortable with? I guess that would be the first thing I would look at. Second, are there unit economics? Third, is this a fad? Is it going to be around 10 years from now? Fourth, how expensive is it to get involved? Are you going to be able to get a loan for it? You know, five, is it going to be difficult to learn this product or service, or will it be pretty easy to learn and teachable to others? Also look for state regulations. Is there anything, is there a location available in your city or state? Are there special regulations toward that product or service? Because a lot of products and services are regulated, and I'll tell you, moving is. But the biggest thing your listeners can do is call as many, once they receive the permission, call as many of the franchisees in that system that they can. And a couple red flags, if you get the FDD from a company and there is not an item number 19, and that shows just shows average numbers that franchisees make, that's a red flag, and find out why they don't have that in their FDD. Secondly, when the prospect does receive permission to call franchisees and they give you a very short list, that's a red flag. And it'd be nice, Two-Man Truck, we give the whole, all of our franchisees, even people that have left the system, because we want that prospect to call as many people as possible. And if they say, I would never do this, you know, I made a big mistake, then the prospect should ask, well, you sound disappointed, would you do it all over again? And if they say never, then it might be good for the prospect to say, then would you be willing to sell your location? The truth will bubble up in that answer. And then keep in mind, if we, it's not often this happens, but if we had a prospect called Two Men in a Truck, and they said, we talked to this franchisee, and they don't like the way you do things, then we would probably say, you know what, you won't be happy in our system then, because that is how we do things. So I think for a prospect, they're going to get a bulk of their education by checking references. Very, 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 very important.
Wow. That's a great question. I never heard that before, you know, in all the years I've been studying franchising is, you know, if someone said, you know, they never would have got into it again, then you say, well, would you sell me yours? And they said, no. You know, they would be like, well, okay, I never thought of that. I mean, that's very clever. I had a feeling your response would be, you know, nothing less than spectacular. You know, it's
So thank you, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Melanie Bergeron, the chair of Two Men and a Truck, you can actually go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can go to our Franchises Listed Alphabetically page and just go to Two Men and a Truck. You can go to our Franchises by Category page and go to our Home Services page. And we'd like to thank everyone again for making this podcast and this show such a big success. It's amazing that we've been doing it now 8 years, and we hope to do it another 8 years. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.